of the spirit and jumpstart their spirit man. We were talking about the Spirit of God yesterday, about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the importance of having the Holy Spirit in your life. Why, as a believer, you should have the Holy Spirit, and the function of the Spirit of God in your life, in my life. You know that the number one foundation is to be transformed by the Spirit of God. And that transformation is a process that comes when you yield and you surrender yourself to the Holy Ghost. You know, men of God, a lot of people don't really know how to yield, how to surrender to the Spirit of God.
That's true.
The only thing that they know is Holy Spirit, you talk of power, people falling down, casting out of demons, miracles happening. But there is an actual relationship that the Spirit of God is desiring to have with you. There is a relationship that he needs to build with you for your day-to-day Christian walk.
That's very true. That's very true. I think it was a profound encounter yesterday, trying to highlight the importance of the person of the Holy Spirit and defining his role as far as our Christian walk is concerned. And we emphasize on the aspect that if a believer doesn't have the Holy Spirit, they are not activated into the reality what it is to live a life in Christ.
Yes.
The reality of God is not given to them.
Uh-huh.
It's not given to them. So it is very imperative that a relationship is developed between a believer and the person of the Holy Spirit. Yes.
You know, and I like Apostle Paul. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. So, I mean, that's like a present, continuous tense. To say now and forever, it means there is no end. There has to be a daily building, a daily fellowship that a believer ought to have with the Spirit of God. You know, I'm so amazed that particularly with the young people, they are so much concerned with God telling them who's going to marry them. They're so much concerned with hearing God saying that when they've never heard God say to them, wake up and pray. So the Holy Spirit is concerned with every bit of your life, but where he begins his fellowship with you is a spiritual thing. He is much more concerned about your prayer life than you are concerned about any other thing, because without him developing that relationship in prayer, without him developing that relationship in scripture, imagine somebody wants to know, when is this going to happen? When is that going to happen? Yet you haven't come to a place where he is your teacher in the word. Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit teaches us the word of God. He teaches us all truth. He reveals all truth. That's what the word of God says. It's just to branch out what the Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. You read verse 20 and 27. Verse 20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. Now, you have been set apart, specially gifted and prepared by the Holy Spirit. And all of you know the truth because he teaches us. He illuminates our mind and guards us from error. All right? I just want to take note of this word, man of God says, the anointing. We'll talk about it today. Verse 27 says, as for you, the anointing, the special gift, the preparation which you have received from him remains permanently in you, and you have no need anyone teach you. Now, it talks about the anointing, that you have received the anointing from God, and that anointing by the Holy Spirit teaches you all things. The anointing, men of God, is... This is how I want to define it. The anointing is the expression of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer.
Yes.
Because the anointing has the ability to teach you.
Mm.
When the Holy Spirit is at work, His anointing, His Him expressing, Him working in you, mm. is what is deemed as the anointing. So the anointing is there for so many number of things. So the first one, the Bible is telling us, is that the anointing, it teaches you all things. As for you have received the anointing, the special gift which you receive from Him remains permanently in you. And you have no need that anyone teach you, but just as His anointing teaches you, giving you insight through the presence of the Holy Spirit about all things, and is true and is not a lie, just as His anointing has taught you, you must remain in Him, being rooted in Him and being knit to Him, just as the anointing has taught you. So the anointing is the working of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. His working in any area of your life then produces the anointing that will begin to work in that area of your life. So it's not limited to ministry. It's not limited to serving the Lord. It's not limited to worshipers, to pastors, to apostles, to prophets. The anointing is the working of the Spirit of God. When you develop that relationship, the anointing is the end result that He then gives you by His working in you, in anything that you're working in. You know, I'm reminded of Exodus. The Bible says when God wanted to make the ark, when He wanted the ark to be made, He then called Moses and told them, "I will anoint so and so." Why? Because they were skilled in a particular job description. They were craftsmen. But God had to anoint them. On top of their skill, God added the anointing that they can then do the work that God wanted them to do. So in their particular craft, God added the anointing. There was a working of the Spirit right there.
Oh, powerful. Powerful. I like it when you say the anointing is the working of the Holy Spirit in a believer. And I like the scripture that you have quoted. But the anointing that you have received from the Holy One abides in you. He lives in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And what you're saying in essence is that the Holy Spirit, who is in us, who begins to work in us, teaching us all things, directing us, leading us, giving us understanding, giving us illumination and revelation into all things, into all things. That's why in the book of John, Christ says, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Which means when the Holy Spirit then begins to work in us, by the reason of His empowerment, by the reason of His anointing, we are given now the ability to understand, the ability to execute certain things, based on His empowerment, based on His revelation, based on His knowledge. And I think that's the dimension that we have to understand, that when we have the person of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, we have that empowerment from God. We have that extraordinary ability to do things that sometimes we are limited to do in our natural state. In that space or in that place, the Holy Spirit then gives us power. He gives us the ability. He anoints us to do certain things. You quoted the skill men that were skilled. They were skilled in certain areas, but on top of that, there was a divine element of the anointing that came upon them. That came upon them. And also, what I like about the anointing is that The purpose of the anointing in our lives is that it turns whatever we are doing, because in its working, God is revealed. God is revealed. Whenever I've realized that whenever the genuine anointing of the Holy Spirit works in our lives, Christ is revealed, Christ is elevated, and Christ is magnified.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, you said something there that I like. So then the anointing is what amplifies the ability that God has already bestowed upon us. The anointing becomes the empowerment of the Spirit of God. Like those guys in Exodus were skilled in a particular thing, and God added the anointing, there was an amplification by the anointing or by the Spirit of God to amplify and to empower that which they were able to do so that they can carry out God's assignment. And when you check throughout the Bible, there is not a single individual that God does not anoint so that he can use them. So the anointing is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Now, you need to understand the importance of the anointing. That's why Jesus would tell the disciples, don't go anywhere, but tarry in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you are endowed with power from on high. So that means when the Holy Spirit has come upon them, then the anointing of the Holy Spirit becomes the empowerment for them to do whatever it is that God wanted them to do. They could have gone and done it, but without the anointing, they were not going to make impact. Without the anointing, they were not going to be effective. So they had to tarry in Jerusalem, they had to be in the upper room until the Spirit of God was poured from on high. Again, I'm reminded of Jesus, our Lord Jesus. The Bible says when he had come on earth by God's word and he lived up to 30 years, he had not studied ministry, he had not studied anything. Then the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 4, the Spirit led him into the wilderness so that he could pray. And when he went into the wilderness, you can read the story again in Luke chapter 4, but I think I like the Luke one better than the Acts one. When he came from the wilderness in the book of Luke, the Bible says he came filled with the Holy Spirit and with the power of the Spirit. Meaning there was an empowerment that happened to him in the wilderness. So when he came back from the wilderness, he was not just Jesus, but the title, the Christ, was then attached because he became the anointed one. Had he gone to do what God sent him to do, I'm sure he would have moved from city to city, but that was never going to be effective. There was never a single miracle that he was going to do. Because Apostle Peter tells us in the book of Acts chapter 10, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power, that he went about doing good. So the anointing is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon your God-given assignment, upon your dream, upon whatever it is that you're doing in your life. When you have the anointing, you are empowered by God.
I like that, that the anointing is the empowerment of God. But it must be understood that every time God anoints a man is to fulfill a divine assignment. You are never anointed outside of the confines of a divine assignment. So Jesus in Luke chapter number 4, 18 said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He begins to outline his mandate to preach the good news to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind. That was the mandate. That was the specific reason why he was anointed. Because when God anoints people, he anoints them for a specific reason. That's why we see there are people that are anointed for healing, that are anointed for the prophetic, that are anointed in different aspects. I've realized that even there are people that are anointed for business. People that are anointed for the medical field, what they have achieved and what they have done for mankind. You can see a divine mark upon their work that then makes us to trace back to a place of anointing where God anointed them to advance mankind in a certain specific field. Because many a times when we are talking about the anointing, a lot of people will think that the anointing is specifically limited to pastors and home ministry. But when we begin to deal with the term ministry, we have to understand that ministry is a broad term. According to 28:18, we say, go ye into the world. The world there is not speaking to the about the earth. It's talking about a system. Go ye into the world, disciples, which means if I am a doctor, I'm given an assignment to go ye into my sphere as a doctor and make disciples.
Yes.
Which means God would not send me into that field without anointing me.
Mm.
Without anointing me. So I know we have lawyers, we have doctors, but you have to understand that if you're a believer, you have to be an anointed one.
Mm.
You have to be an anointed one that then brings in the difference in, that whatever you are doing it to the glory of God.
Amen.
So the anointing is designed by God that when it comes upon a person, it must function and operate to the glory of God.
Amen.
To the glory of God. But it is true that whenever God wants a man to execute a divine assignment, you allow the Holy Spirit to sit in and upon him or her for him to be able to undertake that divine assignment. You call it how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good. Imagine it, if he had gone, like you're saying, without the anointing. He was going to face a lot of challenges, let alone quit, because his assignment would become difficult without that extra ordinary grace and power that comes out of the Spirit of God as the anointing of God.
Oh, hallelujah. You know, I like that, man of God. I'm also drawn to the book of Isaiah, where the Bible says, by the reason of the anointing, the yoke of bondage shall be broken. Now, many Bible versions explain that in so many different ways. But their common understanding is that when the anointing is there, it eases up whatever task that individual is doing. Because when you have a yoke, it means you have a load that you're carrying. But when the anointing is there, this is where most people miss it. You mentioned some can be doctors, some can be engineers, some can be, I think we've got an array of people sitting here. Some are in business, some are doing one thing or the other. But whatever you are doing without the anointing, you're not going to become effective.
Yeah.
You're not going to become effective. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to become effective. Now, I'll give you an example. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Samuel that there was a battle between the Philistines, a face-off rather, between the Philistines and the children of Israel. But each time the champion of Gath would rise from the Philistines' camp, all the trained men, soldiers of Israel, would cower away and they would hide because they were afraid of the giant. But then a small boy sent by his father to go and give food to his brothers, when he got there, he saw that there was something that was not right. There is something that is not making sense here. The reason why he didn't quite get along with what was happening, because he had the understanding that we've got the anointing on our side. So he began to ask, what shall be given the men that shall kill the giant? Now, there are things that we need to understand here. When you read on the story, you go on to realize that eventually David killed. But I have to take you back. What David depended on was that God had anointed him. David was not a soldier. King Saul tried to give him his armor. The armor could not fit. I mean, it was so heavy for him. So in other words, if it was heavy for him, we are saying this guy had no physical training at all. He had no muscles. He had nothing that we could say, at least, he had been fighting before. No. Even the armor could not fit on him. But what he had was the garment of the anointing of God. Meaning, ever the anointing is present, it doesn't matter what you lack in the natural. When you've got the anointing puts you at an advantage. Again, you go to the book of Judges. The Bible tells us of a man called Samson. Now, if you read the story, you also come to an understanding that Samson was not a trained soldier. Samson was not a big, heavy guy. Maybe he was like one of the brothers we have here in the studio. He was not big body-wise, but he had the anointing of God upon him. That each time they would bind Samson, the Bible says, when the anointing would come upon, they would bind him with chains, they would bind him with ropes, he would break them. Why? Because the anointing cannot be bound. When the anointing is there, according to Isaiah, it breaks forth the yoke of bondage. Israel is running and cowering, and they're afraid of Goliath and the Philistines. But when David got there, the anointing brought victory in the battle. It is the anointing. When you've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you are at a better place than anybody that has any qualification in this world. I'm not saying qualifications are not important. I am saying the anointing places you at an advantage.
Powerful. So obviously the anointing gives us a supernatural advantage. Mm. A supernatural advantage for us to be able to function in the realm of man. But I want to keep my discussion based on the aspect that the anointing doesn't and must not function outside of the confines of who Christ is to us. It has to have, if God is going to give an anointing upon our lives, the anointing is, number one, going to come with a purpose. Number two, it is defined from the onset. What is the purpose of this anointing? What is the kind of this anointing that is coming upon you? That then makes one become effective in their task. Obviously, when the anointing would come upon Samson, it was for him to destroy the enemies. And for another person, it would be a different thing altogether. But it is true that when the anointing comes upon a man, I like what then David said. He understood the power of the anointing and said, in that day, the feeble among them shall become like David, and the house of David shall become like God.
Amen.
You know, when the anointing comes upon you, it's God working in a man. It's God partnering with a man. That what man cannot do in his stead, what a man cannot do, God joins the work, partners that person by the reason of the anointing.
Amen.
And from that footing, a man begins to do extraordinary things. The Bible says, and Philip went to Samaria under the influence of the Holy Spirit, empowered by the anointing of the Spirit. He went about and preached Christ, turned the city upside down. There is some more that you can do with the anointing. I'll go for an anointed man, because I know a man that's anointed is able to do things that the Bible says they exceedingly abundantly above that what we can think or ask of. It's imaginable, because it's God working through a mere mortal. They grew up with Jesus. They grew up with him in Nazareth. They grew up with him. Probably because he was a mere man, you know. Probably they played, if it's now nowadays term, they played with him soccer. They knew his day-to-day routines. That's why they were surprised and actually rejected him at Nazareth, because now they didn't understand that there was an anointing in Christ, in Jesus, the son of Joseph, was Christ, the son of God. And the anointing was hidden in Christ, the son of Joseph. That's why when he began to operate that anointing, they could not believe it. They could not understand it. They said, who gave him this authority? Because once the anointing starts working in a man, something unusual, something which is not common to men, which is not common to the natural, begins to happen in the life of a mere human being. The Bible is very full of men. Daniel, anointed of the Spirit, thrown into the lion's den, and the lions could not get any appetite to eat him. You can't eat, you can't touch an anointed man, because the anointing is the difference. The anointing is the difference. You know, let me say this statement. A lot of people have done all what they think is the steps they need for success. Probably gone to school, have more degrees and everything. But there is a missing element in their life that you find in a mere person. And boom, here comes the difference. The anointing. I've seen that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is the difference if we are going to make impact in the kingdom of God.
Oh, hallelujah. You said something there that I just want to build on. That the anointing takes a mere person. You know, I was giving the examples of David, I was giving the examples of Samson. There is something that happens when an individual receives the anointing. Number one, you are changed. The anointing changes you. You know, you were talking about Paul yesterday, that they brought handkerchiefs, they brought aprons to touch the body of Paul so that they can be brought to the sick. And when they did that, the sick were healed and demons came out of them. Why? Because the anointing changes the individual. That it comes upon. There is something that, you know, I like it. The Bible says, if you have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, you are transformed, or rather your mortal bodies is transfigured. There is a change that happens to your mortal body to such an extent that there was an infusion of God and men in the life of Apostle Paul, in the life of Apostle Peter. Their shadows could heal the sick. Why? Because there was an overflow of the anointing of God. What God had deposited in them began to overflow. That if they could, you know, we were talking about Catherine Kuhlman.
Yes.
She would come to a meeting, maybe a kilometer or so away from the meeting, things will begin to happen in the place where people are. Why? Because that is what the anointing did. And people will say, oh, but where is it in the Bible? The shadows of Peter, the shadows of Apostle Paul, things that would touch their bodies would literally go and do the assignment that particular anointing has been sent by God to do. You go to the Old Testament, the prophet of God died, Elisha, and he was buried in a particular place. And when there was an army between the raiders and the children of Israel, say one guy was shot with an arrow, fell in the ditch where, you know, the bones of the dead men of God were. And when his body touched those bones, he came back to life. Why? Because that is what the anointing does. The anointing transforms, the anointing transfigures, the anointing changes you. When you've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the anointing changes you. There is something that it we're not talking about just empowerment for church service, empowerment for you to go and sing, for empowerment for this. When the anointing comes upon you, there are certain things that might have happened in your life or the devil could do in your life before. Imagine bones of somebody who died years back. By the reason of the anointing still lived in those bones. So the anointing alters, it changes you. If the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of you, if that same spirit is on the inside of you, the Bible says it vitalizes your mortal bodies. When you've got the anointing of God, you are vitalized. The life of God is flowing right on the inside of you.
Powerful, powerful. There is always, like you're saying, there is always a difference when the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon a person. Jesus was one example, perfect example of the anointing working in a man. The anointing for me, in my submission, is God working in a man. He goes to a place called Gadarenes. The anointing is so present in his spirit. He steps on the ground, didn't say anything, and demons were able to detect that the anointing has entered our territory. And they were already manifesting. And already say, what have you come to do with us, Son of the Living God? There are things that happens when the anointing comes upon a person. Sometimes you don't need to say a word. Your presence will announce itself, and things will begin to happen. I'm telling you, there is always a difference. One day, Apostle, I entered into this shop, walked through this shop. When I was about to come out, this lady says, "Stop." I said, "Are you a man of God?" I said, "No." I said, "No, you are a man of God, because the moment you entered into this, something changed in this place." Yeah. Because you carry an aura, you carry an atmosphere of the anointing. Yeah. That when you enter into a place, things begin to happen, even without you speaking. Mm-hmm. There's a lady called Amy McPherson. In the history books, they would say you would be passing by, let's say, a kilometer away from the city center, and the power of God out of the anointing upon your life will start touching people. People are falling in, people are being healed. That's what the anointing can do. I'm reminded of Smith Wigglesworth, an anointed man of God. He says he went on a rail line, and he touched the rail line and said, "Father, wherever the train is and the people that are in that train, touch them." It is recorded that people's, the power of God came in that train, and the people were being healed, things were happening, the power of God was so visible. I tell you, there is something that's wrapped in the anointing of God, that when it comes upon a man, that man becomes extraordinary. That man becomes extraordinary, a mere boy born in Israel, and the anointing of God comes upon her in his calling in a dream. He is sold to Egypt, went to Potiphar's house, locked in the dungeon, in the prison. But because the anointing cannot be prison, the anointing of God began to work through his gift in that prison. And the anointing was able to interpret national affairs. National affairs. He is not an economist. He is not a governmental figure who went to school for that. But the anointing is giving him the ability to solve problems that are troubling the president, the king of that particular nation. This is what the anointing can do. The anointing will always do something that is not given or that is not certified by human institutions. When the anointing works in a person, the mark of God is written all over it.
Oh, hallelujah. That's so powerful. So that means the anointing then transforms an individual to become a problem solver. You're talking about Joseph, how Joseph began to interpret dreams. He wasn't told the dream. Actually, it was by the reason of the anointing that he told the king. The king had forgotten the dream. He told the king the dream he had, then interpreted the dream. After interpreting the dream, he gave a word of wisdom, what is to be done in the nation. And he rose to the highest position in that nation. Not only him, you read of Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how the anointing of God was upon them. That when they were in training and people were given, you know, the best of the land, what the land had to offer, God told them, "Don't eat that. Eat this." Why? Because God is saying, "I want to make a difference between those that are enjoying the luxuries of the king's table and those that are under the anointing of the Holy Spirit." That by the time when they came to check them, they were the healthiest of them all. Not only so, but they were the wisest of them all. And the Bible says that Daniel had the Spirit of God upon him. He had the Spirit of excellency, that Daniel could interpret hard riddles. Whatever they had, an issue they had in the land, Daniel was the man to see. Why? Because he had the Spirit of God upon him. He had the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him. The anointing places you at an advantage. The anointing gives you abilities that you cannot acquire in the natural. The anointing gives you, you know, not only strength, but the anointing places you ahead. Look at this. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego told you, if you don't worship this God, we are going to throw you in the lake of fire. Mm. And they responded, oh, king, if God saves us, he doesn't save us, it doesn't matter, we're not going to worship this thing. And they were thrown into the lake of fire. They were bound by ropes, whatever it is they used to bound. They were bound. After being bound, the king said, let the fire be multiplied 7 times. To an extent, the multipliers of the fire died as a result of that fire. Mm. The people that bound them and threw them into the fire died as a result of the fire. Mm. But by the reason of the anointing, when the king looked, the Bible says he saw a fourth man walking in the fire with them. And the chains and the ropes that bound them, they were broken, bent off them. And everything that was tied on them was bent off. But neither they nor their clothes nor their hair had any sign of the fire. Why? Because of the anointing. Isaiah says, you walk through the fire, you will not get bent. You walk through the mighty waters, you will not drown. Why? Because of the anointing of God. David says, I walk through the valley, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's not discrediting the shadow of death, neither is Isaiah discrediting the fire, neither are they discrediting the high waters and the floods and the turbulence that come in life. But what they're simply trying to tell you is the anointing is the game changer. As long as the anointing of God is upon your life, there is nothing that can defeat you.
Powerful. Powerful. Our main point is that when the anointing comes upon a person, that person is bound to do the extraordinary.
Amen.
The anointing in the book of Kings comes upon. So Elijah is on the top of the mountain. He speaks to his servant and says, go tell Ahab, the rain is about to come. Let him go to the entrance of Jezreel.
Uh-huh.
He has to get up his loins and get to there lest the rains overtake him.
Uh-huh.
Ahab puts together his mode of transport, probably the fastest in that time, chariots and horses. And the man of God is still on the top of the mountain praying.
Yeah.
The Bible records and is very clear that the Holy Spirit comes or came upon him. The anointing set upon him.
Mm.
And the Bible says he outran Ahab to Jezreel. Which means when the anointing of God comes upon a person, it also brings what we call divine speed.
Yeah.
Divine speed. Divine speed. The anointing will always leave people in a scenario where they cannot explain things in the natural and only attribute it to God. So every time the anointing of God comes upon your life, one of the things that I guarantee you is that your life will be put on a speed mode.
Uh-huh.
Things will begin to move at a pace that could have taken years. So this is what the anointing does. The anointing will bring speed. A man is praying in the mountain. Ahab had gone ahead of him. We don't know with how many k's, how many hours, but the Bible is very clear that when the anointing of God came upon Elijah, he outran him to Jezreel. It's the supernatural dawning upon a person to do the supernatural in the realm of men. In the realm. That's why when the anointing comes upon a man, the man begins to defy human laws. Work miracles. Work miracles. Healing miracles. All manner of miracles. A man anointed comes in the book of John chapter number 2. He comes with the anointing. They are having their party, their wedding, drinking their wine, and now the wine is well spent. And obviously, I highlighted that if they were to get another wine, it's obviously they were going to buy it, or they needed more days, probably 7 days, to create a new wine. And then Mary understood that in a place where human means cannot solve the problem, the anointing will. So Mary goes to the anointing and says they don't have wine. Said, my time is not. Said, they don't have wine. He said to them, whatever he tells you, whatever the anointing tells you to do, do it. He puts water, said, put water into the water pots. Mm-hmm. As they obeyed, the anointing was able to do the unusual.
Oh,
the unusual. Yeah. Turn that water into wine. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that when the anointing comes upon our lives, one of the evidences of the anointing sitting upon our lives is a miraculous life.
Mm-hmm.
We begin to walk in miracles. We begin to perform miracles. We begin to live a miraculous life.
You know, you just said something marvelous there. Mm-hmm. You said one of the things that we know the anointing is this, that we begin to live lives of miracles. You know, I would like to term it like this.
Mm.
The unusual things will begin to happen in your life.
Oh, yes.
The unusual things. It's, you get into an unusual dimension. Earlier on, you spoke about Acts chapter 8, how Philip went to the town of Samaria.
Mm.
I like it. The Bible says, hearing and seeing what he was doing.
Mm.
So Philip was then in the business of the show and tell gospel.
Mm.
When the anointing comes upon your life, whatever you say, it has to come to pass.
Mm.
Because the anointing then empowers every word that comes out of your mouth. Jesus said the words that we speak, they are spirit and they are life. What he simply meant was that the words I am speaking to you, they are anointed words. When you become anointed, the ordinary ceases and you begin to move in the extraordinary.
Amen.
Each time, imagine Jesus is going to a funeral. And when he gets there, actually the funeral is over. When he gets there, in my culture, you go there to pass your condolences. But then Jesus, because he has the anointing of the Holy Ghost, is then asking, who is the one that put the stone on the tomb? Then they begin to point it so and so, remove the stone. And then he calls out, he says, Lazarus, come forth. Why? Because when the anointing is there, the anointing is unlimited. You say the anointing then puts you in a place where you are functioning beyond the natural laws. When the anointing is there, it's not limited to how things are supposed to go in the natural. They're saying, had you been there 4 days ago, a brother would have not died. He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Why? Because the anointing was at work in his life. One time Jesus goes to the mountain to pray. And when he comes back from the mountain, the Bible says the disciple had crossed over to the other side. Not only had they crossed over to the other side, the wind in the sea became boisterous. So when Jesus comes, there is no boat to carry him to the other side. But by the reason of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, under the soles of his natural feet, you know, I want to believe there was a material structure change there, that he became much more denser than water. Why? Because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, he could not sink. Not only was he walking on water, but there were waves, there were storms, the wind was moving, you know, the water was moving in a very agitated manner because the wind was boisterous. But by the reason of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I don't know if I'm talking to somebody tonight.
Mm.
You might be in your ship and the wind is boisterous. You might be, you know, it's maybe the ship of your marriage, the ship of your finances, your workplace. The wind is boisterous. Sometimes we want to limit God and want to exclude him from certain things that happen in our lives. Look, these are fishermen. These are men that are experienced at sea. But the moment that they saw Jesus, their experience went out of the boat. They said, who is this man? Is he a ghost? What is he? Why? Because they had not seen a man that walks on water. And on top of it, in the midst of a storm, if it wasn't a storm, maybe they would try to come up with explanations. Some things that can be explained in the natural. But when the anointing comes upon your life, you live beyond the natural.
Powerful. Powerful, something very profound here.
Mm.
But it must be understood this way, that the anointing flows through a certain system.
Wow.
And one of the systems in which the anointing flows through is the word.
Yeah.
The word. Look at Jesus. Every time the anointing would work in his life to perform a task,
mm-hmm.
it was a combination of that anointing moving through a spoken word.
Uh-huh.
Peace be still. The anointing will be activated.
Uh-huh.
You will come cast out devils by a word, and the anointing would be released.
Yeah.
That's another subject altogether. That's another subject altogether. But there has one of the anointing finds its comfort in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It finds its comfort in the Word of God. That's why, for every man that God would anoint, you would also lead that man to the Word, because the two works hand in hand.
Yes.
The other one allows the anointing to smoothly flow and perform a task, because it is also regulated by that same word. But I want you to understand that Jesus is an anointed man. The anointing is what gave his word power.
Yes.
The anointing is what activated his words.
Uh-huh.
The Pharisees said, he's not like one of our teachers.
Yeah.
Because his teachings are with authority.
Yeah.
The anointing was a difference. Mm-hmm. When this man would teach, the anointing would give life to what he was saying. Mm-hmm. So when he said, Lazarus, come forth, it was the anointing that activated that rhema to bring Lazarus back to life. He would say, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. When he would speak a word, that the anointing, the power of the Spirit would activate that word into a living reality. Wow. Into a living reality. That's what was his difference.
Yeah.
That was the anointing, was Jesus' difference. That whenever you would say something, it would come to pass. Why? It was because of the anointing of the Spirit upon him.
Yeah.
That's why he says, for the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach. So when every time you would preach, there was a manifestation. Why? It was because his preaching would be activated by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The difference between you and the next person, the reason why you speak the same thing and yours doesn't come to pass is the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you speak without an anointing, it's like a mere word that's going out. You can actually speak out scripture and nothing happens. You can actually say, be healed in the name of Jesus, and healing doesn't flow because the anointing is not activated in your life. But when another person will say, be healed, and the anointing will flow, and the person is healed, it's because the anointing is activated in their life. They have a full knowledge of the anointing that is there, that is working in their lives. So when they speak, the anointing gives life to what they are speaking. That's why I always give this example, because I love it so much. A story is told. Two men, a young man and an old man, given an opportunity to recite Psalm 23. The young man rises up first out of knowledge and claiming the ability to claim that Psalm 23 begins to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It makes me lie down in greener pastures. And people clapped because of his academic prowess. They clapped their hands and said, oh, this is a powerful young man. He's able to recite Psalm 23. And when the old man came up, the old man began to recite Psalm 23 slowly. By the time he finished, people were under their chairs crying. Why? There was a conviction, because the man, there was a merge of the anointing and the word that he was speaking. There was a difference. That's the difference. That's the difference, that when we begin to speak under the influence of the anointing of the Spirit, our word comes with power. Our word comes with transformation. Our word comes with healing. Our word comes with elevation. Oh my God. Oh my God.
You know, what one last thing I want us to talk about. I want you just touched on it, and then you tabled. But I want us to talk about it right now. That will be one of the last few things we talk about. Because we're telling people they need the anointing. But one of the things that people struggle with is, when I get the anointing, how do I use the anointing in my life?
Powerful.
How do I get that anointing to work in my life? Because it's one thing getting something. It's another thing, for example, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And people get filled with the Holy Spirit, but they don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to do with the experience of being filled. You need to realize that the anointing works with expressing. You mentioned the Word of God. You express what the Word of God says, and then the anointing works upon that Word of God. As long as you've got the anointing and you're not saying anything, no matter, you know, sometimes people go through stuff and they wonder, why are things not changing in my life? Why is it that God looks like he's forsaken me? But you have a closed mouth. As long as your mouth is not saying something pertaining what you're going through, there is nothing that is going to change. Look at it this way, men of God. When Jesus was teaching the disciples, he said, you shall say to this mountain. But what believers like doing is to say things about the mountain. You shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. But believers like talking about the mountain, not moving the mountain. Because as long as there is no expression by confession by which that anointing is put to work, you can be anointed and your story is not changing. Let's look at it this way. James was caught by Herod, killed. Peter was caught by Herod. And Herod is saying, we'll kill him tomorrow. Because people loved it when he killed James. As he's planning to do that, this is Peter, an anointed man of God. The church began to express the anointing through prayer.
Yes.
They began to pray. As they prayed, the anointing intensified to such an extent that there was an angelic visitation in Peter's prison. And Peter was set free. He walked out of prison. When he got home, they couldn't believe that it's Peter themselves. So you need to realize that it's not just about accumulating. You know, one preacher said, and I stand to be corrected, that when the anointing, when you stoke up the anointing, it smells. It has to be used. When God poured out manna, I said, take what is for today. So it means you have to express it. You have to use. You have to know how to confess and how to speak. You can be anointed, but anointed suffering, anointed struggling, anointed with nothing coming forth out of your life.
Mm.
As long as you don't know, because it's more, the anointing is like electricity. If there is no connection, no copper wire going to the other room where the light is needed, you have all the electricity and all the generators you need, but you remain in darkness.
Wow. Wow.
There has to be an expression.
Amen.
A conduit by which the anointing is released in any situation that you're going through.
Powerful. One of the major areas when it comes to the anointing that I want my brothers and sisters to understand is that one of the most questions that has been asked, or I've been asked, is that how do I grow in the anointing?
Oh, yes.
Firstly, we have to understand that the anointing, I believe, personally, this is my belief, and I could prove it, that the anointing doesn't grow in you. It is you who grows in the understanding of the anointing that has come upon your life.
That's it.
So if you want to function effectively in the anointing, you have to grow in the understanding. You have to grow in the knowledge of the anointing that has been freely given to you. That is freely given to you. So the reason why sometimes there are two people that are anointed for healing. The other one is flowing in healing smoothly and the other one is not. The difference is not the anointing. The difference is the knowledge on how to discern, on how to use that anointing.
Yeah.
How to use that anointing. Some might be using the anointing not in a right way. Some might be using an anointing, but the character is being the challenge.
Yeah.
It's so many various elements that are included in us demonstrating the anointing upon our lives. But one of the things that I've understood over time that makes the anointing work effectively in our lives is that the anointing must be coupled with the knowledge of the Word of God.
You can say that again.
the anointing, if it is met with the revelation knowledge of the word of God, I've seen it do wonders. Uh-huh. Also, the other thing that helps the anointing to function effectively in our lives is wisdom. Wisdom. God doesn't want to give you power for destruction. God wants to give you power so that you can manage it for fruitfulness.
Amen.
The anointing is always given so that there is fruitfulness. So we said wisdom. The anointing also loves the comfort of a good structure.
Yeah.
Any anointing without structure will produce ephemeral results, short-lived results. Yeah. It's like the anointing is being poured upon your life, and you have a container, you know, a water container that has holes on it, yeah, and you're pouring. No matter how you pour, you're always losing it. Yeah. This is one thing that I need people to understand. The anointing can be lost. Let me show you. I can come in the power of the anointing and demonstrate it on someone who is not ready for it.
Yeah.
It's wasting the anointing. Yeah. It's releasing an anointing on a container with holes. You know that this person will release an anointing, we're telling you you're a millionaire, but you don't want to sort your structure. Yeah. The next thing, that anointing of a millionaire is lost because your financial principles, everything, the little money that you get, that weekend you don't sleep at home. You know, back structure. So the anointing loves structure. The anointing loves wisdom. The anointing obviously functions effectively in maturity. God will always anoint kids, but you subject them to a process in that anointing into maturity. Into maturity. Usually people come into the kingdom as children, but the kingdom is inherited by sons. The effectiveness of the anointing in the kingdom of God has been realized by sons' maturity. The last thing that I would say is the anointing allows humility. Humility. Why? The reason why the anointing loves humility, because humility means power under control. Power under control. If you can't control the anointing, you can't be effective in it. Imagine after I pray for the sick are healed, and I point to myself, I did it. I never opposed. I have healed them. You know what I mean? And he is not in the equation. But when you're functioning the anointing in a place of humility, you see, you speak like John and say, "He must increase
so that
I decrease."
Hallelujah. And lastly, you can attract the anointing of God.
Wow.
Draw near unto God, and God will draw near unto you. It's by intention, you know. Mm-hmm. You need to have the intent. You need to be hungry for the things of God. You need to be hungry for the anointing. Set your affections. Paul says in the book of Colossians, on the things that are above, where Christ is seated. You can attract the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You can desire and place a demand. You can place a demand by hunger. You can place a demand on God to say, "God, anoint me." And I believe tonight, if you place a demand right where you are, God is going to touch you. If you place a demand right where you are, the Spirit of God is going to come mightily upon your life. The anointing is not just for the ministry, but the anointing, the Bible says, the spiritual is for the prophet, is to profit with all, or rather is for the profit of everyone. So the spiritual is not for particular groups of people, but it is for everybody that is a believer. You can desire, you can attract the anointing, you can desire more of God. You know, I believe God is looking for people that are saying, "I've been on this level for too long. I've been right where I am for too long. I've been in the same tongues that I'm speaking for too long. I've been seeing visions like trees. I want things to become clearer in my life. I want God's voice to become clearer. God has been waiting for me to sleep, for Him to speak to me. I want to hear Him audibly." I want to be doing something, and I will hear God say to me, what you are doing is wrong, what you are doing is right. I don't want to learn by experience or by mistake. I don't want to learn either by whether it is successful or not successful. But I want to move in the good pleasure of God. I want to move where God is. That can come by design. If you could just but open your mouth. And just begin to speak in tongues, right? There is a name that I, that has been flashing in my spirit since, since before we started the service. And Natasha, I don't know if there's a Natasha that is watching or related to someone or known by somebody that is watching, or by anyone that is here in this room. If you know a Natasha, Kaya Dabaka Sata, Nadibo Kusukote, Keliada Dabaka Sata, Braduze Gridiga. It's like this past week, this Natasha has been going through, things have not been going well, even concerning health wise. It hasn't been going well for her. But God has remembered her tonight. God is going to heal her. God is going to put everything in order that is not in order. So if maybe Natasha is watching, or you know Natasha, God is visiting Natasha tonight. I see healing coming upon her. I don't know what was going on with her tummy. But God is healing her in the mighty name of Jesus. And everything that has not been moving in the right direction, God is saying, I am rearranging and rewriting the story. She's coming out with powerful testimonies from today in Jesus' mighty name.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. And I believe there is a special anointing that's coming upon people tonight. And specifically, the anointing is an anointing of speed and acceleration. God is saying the things that He was going to take you years to accomplish them, that was going to take you, let's say 10 years, will take a very short space of time. There is an acceleration of time. God says, I'm going to perform miracles in the realm of man to compensate lost time. Lost time. There is someone I see in the realms of the spirit. There is something to do with your school. To do with your school. To do with your school. It's like you missed a course. You missed a course. And that was going to defer your graduation into the incoming year. But I see God influencing your lecturer so that you will take this class and be able to graduate with that graduating class. Say yes, the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord says, I'll convince him. He's been hard. It's been hard. But God says, I'm going to convince him so that you will not defer your graduation and put it into the next year, because it will be costly. The Lord says, I'm working on it. The Lord also is speaking to me, laying upon me. The Lord says, I'm touching a person called Audrey. Audrey. There's someone watching us, and then your connection to Audrey. And the Lord says, I'm going to touch Audrey, and I'm going to bless Audrey. There is a major door that I'm opening. And the Audrey that I'm talking about, there has to be something to do with the month of May. I don't know if you were born in the month of May, or someone very close to you is born in there. But God says, I'm doing it to prove that I have favored you in this season.
Amen and amen.
One of our team members just sent me a message on WhatsApp right now to say they know Natasha was having issues with her tummy, like something was moving in her tummy this week. So okay, Natasha is healed in the mighty name of Jesus.
We declare it.
Whatever it is that was moving, it's out of her body right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There are also prayer requests, men of God. I see a Millicent Pasipanoj guys saying, I need the anointing of the Most High God first in me. I don't know if you can pray and speak into her life.
Millicent, I declare that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would come upon your life to impact your walk with God, to impact your life, your career life. I declare in the name of Jesus that it shall be so. Something is literally coming upon your life. The Lord says, because of this anointing, I've given you a huge breakthrough. But the breakthrough is in the months that are coming, the eighth month of the year. This is August. Because August will be very significant because of the oil of God that has come upon your life. The Lord says, tonight I have anointed you and I have allowed the Holy Spirit to come upon your life. In the name of Jesus. The Lord says, it shall be so, for it cannot be otherwise. The Lord has done it. And the Lord has favored you. I would also, Millicent, I would also want to find out if you know anyone called Farai.
All right. Okay, there's a testimony here from Jerim Gut. I think the young man was here with us when we were doing the live. He was right here in person. Saying thank you for the word. I have a testimony yesterday after prayer. People who are helping me with my research started replying to my messages. Someone replied after almost 3 months of no response. So immediately when we prayed for him yesterday, God began to move in his life.
That's the doing of the Lord.
There is also Sarah M. Poff who's saying, I want the anointing to follow me. I'm going to pray for you.
Sure, sure.
You just speak a word as well. Sarah, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, right where you are, may the Spirit of the Lord touch you. May the Spirit of the Lord fall upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Even as I'm praying for you, it's like I see a hand that is coming to cover your eyes. There is a restoration that is happening upon your life in the mighty name of Jesus, and healing that God is in, and your relationship with God is going to, I can say, deepen, where God is going to be speaking and showing you things in your life. I don't know what you do, but I sense that there is a call and a need for God's purpose in your heart, that God is going to use you, whether you're already serving in church or you're yet to decide how you ought to serve in your church. But there's a call of service, particularly in the area of intercession and praying and praying for the work of the Lord.
What I can say to Sarah, right? Sarah, God is saying, I've ushered you into a season of fruitfulness. It's like the Lord caused me to walk in the Spirit through a barren land. And the Lord says, whatever you've been trying for the past years, the Lord says, I'm turning your season. And I'm going to cause rivers to flow in desert places. The barrenness you've been experiencing in your life has ended. Now is the season of fruitfulness. Now is the season of fruitfulness. I see God supplying His Spirit in your life. And by the reason of the anointing, you are going to accomplish a couple of things in a very short space of time. Finances will be availed by God. And you are going to be able to accomplish the plans that you have. Say yes, the Spirit of God.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. There is also another one. I want you to pray for this one. This is my watching from Joburg, our Zimundula. He says, may I receive that kind of anointing that you're talking about.
I release upon your life a season of celebration because of this anointing. Because in the realms of the spirit, I see you celebrated. God says, I'm giving you a new garment. It's a garment of favor. It's a garment of prosperity. Lord says, I pick you up from one level of glory to another. The Lord says, in this season, in this year, you shall be celebrated. Lord says, I've cut off disappointments out of your life, and I've released into your life uncommon favor.
There is also a son of mine who sent a prayer request. Andrew Kudini says, I need a touch of the anointing you are teaching about tonight. So would you pray for him?
I release upon your life the anointing of the Spirit. That may the Holy Spirit carry you, use you, lead you, and guide you. God says, if I'm going to use you in my anointing, then you have to understand the art of obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. There are things that you need to solve. There are things that God has been speaking to you, you know. God says, obey. And once you are going to obey, this year will not end. I see a massive breakthrough. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen and amen.
There is a prompting on your heart. It's like from time to time you feel like someone is talking to you. It's God speaking to your heart. Just obey that voice and see what God will do. In that instead, I see a lot of people, God has been speaking to you, and you're contemplating on the instructions that God is giving you tonight. Just go ahead and do it. Tonight, go ahead and do it. Any delayed instruction is a delayed harvest. And any delayed obedience is disobedience. But God is giving you an opportunity. A lot of you, I see God has given you instructions. Go ahead and do it. No more need for consultations. God says, I've already spoken to you. Do it. Buy that house. Buy it. Buy it. Go and buy it. Someone, you are contemplating on buying a house. Contemplating on buying a house. Buy it. The Lord says, once you commit yourself into buying it, I'll provide all the other funds that you need. Yes, that's it.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's it.
Oh, hallelujah. Also, there's the first one, Duiwa. Oh, so take it a little bit. I'm saying that my prayer request is for speed. Speed, anointing, acceleration.
The first one, listen, acceleration is activated by obedience. The school of the Spirit requires that you obey. If you cannot learn quickly, you can't be promoted quickly. So, if you're going to obey, speed has been released upon your life already. God says, if you're going to obey, you are literally going to be catapulted to the next level. But about to listen, as a matter of fact, your former workplace, there is a place that you worked at, and I saw them calling you. They will call you sometime next week. Towards the end, they will try to call you on Tuesday. But it's like I see them starting to reach to you on Tuesday because of your phone. I don't know what had happened to your phone, but you then saw it as a missed call. But they will communicate to you on Thursday. wanting you back to work for them again. Mm. So we'll start from there when they have called you. But I know they will call you next week. Mm. Call you next week. And also, the Lord is requiring that you spend time in the Word. Spend time in the Word. A lot of reading of the Word and studying of the Word. There's a regulation that needs to come to your spirit. And take care of your passport. Take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. There's also, one last thing I'm going to mention here. Millicent Pasipanojo, you mentioned if she has a connection to a Farai, and she says, my uncle's wife is called Farai.
There is a breakthrough that has come upon Farai. I don't know where Farai is, but there is a breakthrough that has come upon Farai's life. I just saw that name lifted up, and I saw a breakthrough. I declare it into your life. But also, Pasipanojga, who is in UK or wanted to go to UK or wants to do something to do with the UK?
We're talking about the breakthrough in Farai. I see God giving Farai grace to travel. I don't know if she is planning to do that, but there's grace that God has released concerning her.
Wow.
All right. I think we left only with about 3 minutes. We're closing it at exactly 8:10. So that we prepare for the all-night prayer. For those that are in Cape Town or surrounding areas, if you can, do join us tonight. It's starting at
9:30.
It's going to be in Claremont. We have a healing and prophetic night. So for all those that are in Cape Town, if you can, please make your way. Don't have any excuse. Let the excuse be, I have to be in church. And all those other programs, you can do them next week or tomorrow. So let's meet tonight in Claremont for a mighty, mighty, powerful night. We believe in God for something extraordinary. And please do bring the sick. I do believe that God is in the business of healing people today. So see you tonight, 9:30. That's the time we're starting in Claremont. I do believe our numbers are scrolling down on the screen, so you can and you may take the numbers for directions.